As was mentioned earlier in the announcements, we're glad that you're here this morning, and those that are visiting, we're especially glad to have you. Here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 29, the apostle talks about the fact that he is certainly a preacher of the gospel. And he speaks of what the gospel can do for us, but he also talks about the church and makes mention of the church in these verses. And the fact that Paul then is a minister of the gospel. And in verse 24 he says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Last Sunday morning we began a series of lessons concerning the church. We wanted to go back and look at the Old Testament prophecies that point toward the establishment of the church, and show that over those hundreds of years in different prophecies by specifically three different men in the Old Testament, and there are also other references to it, but we zeroed in on three Old Testament prophecies last week that point toward the establishment of the church. When you think about the church and the things that are discussed today concerning the body of Christ, the Christians who make up the church and what the church is, there's much discussion when it comes to what is the function of the church, what is the church made of, when did it originate, when was it established, is it in existence today, and how long will it be in existence? Well, last Sunday morning we began with these slides concerning the fact that the church is a very important part of God's plan. Just as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a central theme of the Bible in that God would send His Son to die on the cross, Christ would purchase the church with His blood, provide the way of salvation for us, and so then the church, which is made up of those baptized believers in Christ who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, is an important part of the teaching of the Bible. And so we need to understand that it didn't just happen because someone forced Christ to be put to death and then the church was set up instead of a future kingdom. That was not what happened. Everything that God planned in the establishment of the church, the kingdom, which is the same, took place as God intended for it to. I want to go back and review just a little bit this morning on some of the things we talked about last week. The fact that the church was a part, has always been a part of God's eternal purpose. It came to fruition when Christ died on the cross and shed His blood that the church might be established. Then when Peter preached that first sermon on Pentecost and those people received the words of the gospel and were baptized, they were added to the church. So God's eternal plan was for the church to be established. It was His purpose for it to come into place, Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. And certainly it did come into place in AD 33. But the church was purchased by the blood of Christ. And when Paul wrote to the Ephesian elders, he said, you know, they were to oversee the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So the church that was planned and prophesied in the Old Testament came to fruition in the New Testament. It was purchased by the blood of Christ. And then it was that part of God's eternal purpose which came into being in AD 33. Again, the Old Testament prophecies concerning the church, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the fact that the church would be established. He told the time of the establishment, what was going to be established, the place of the establishment, which would be in Jerusalem, and the extent of the blessings that would come from the establishment of the church. All nations would be blessed in the preaching of the gospel, the shedding of the blood of Christ, and all nations would be blessed then in the church, in that the saved are added to the church, and the saved make up the church. So the Old Testament prophesied back in 725, there about B.C., all the way down. We're going to look at a couple other prophecies this morning that we discussed last week in depth that leads up to the establishment of the church. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 is a parallel passage that goes along with Isaiah 2, 1 through 3 that also talks about that church, that kingdom that's going to be established in the mountain of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in the last days. So the Old Testament points to the church, and it's easy to identify those scriptures and tie them together if we study what the Old Testament prophets said and then see the fruition of it in the New Testament. Daniel chapter 2 verses 36 through 45, there about the year 600 BC in that neighborhood of time. We see that was the Babylonian period under Babylonian rule there when Daniel was there living. And so God provided Daniel the means to be able to interpret a dream of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He interpreted that dream. He told what that dream was, and he pointed out to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, God changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. Daniel 2 and verse 21. So God is showing King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Somewhere down the road, Nebuchadnezzar, there's going to be a kingdom that's going to be set up that's going to be greater than your kingdom or any of the kingdoms that follow you. That kingdom is going to be strong and it shall never fail. So from about 600 BC, we can see that we're looking toward that kingdom that's going to be established about AD 33. And so again, the Old Testament prophecies continued. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 45, Daniel gave the interpretation to the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, and he pointed out that this fits the different times and the different rules and the different kingdoms that's going to lead up to the time when that kingdom, the church, will be established. So we look there in Daniel 2 again, and we see there was an image that was in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel interpreted that dream. He said, King Nebuchadnezzar, what you saw is there's the head, which is gold. There's the breast and the arms, which is silver. The belly and the thighs, which is brass. The legs that you witness are iron. The feet was part of iron and part of clay. The parts of the image represents various kingdoms then, as we're going to see that Daniel's going to give the interpretation to the meaning of these things. And so in Daniel 2, verses 31 through 45, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar there, when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and God gave Daniel the ability to interpret the dream, there along about Daniel came to Nebuchadnezzar and he said, King, O king, this is what the dream means. This is the interpretation of the dream. Again, about 626 to about 539 BC was the Babylonian dynasty or the Babylonian rule. This would be the head of gold. Secondly, he talks about the breast of silver, the Medo-Persian time, 539 to 331 BC. And then he talks about the belly and the thighs of bronze, the Grecian period, about 331 B.C. And then the legs of iron, which would indicate that when you look at these different kingdoms that were set up, they all are ruled by men, and they're all going to fall apart, they're all going to fail, but there's going to be a kingdom that's going to come in the future, in the latter days, that's going to be set up in Jerusalem, which will be the kingdom of God, which will be the church, which will never be established. So we have this legs of iron, the Roman Empire, 63 B.C. to about 5 A.D. And we're going to establish then, when we get into the second part of our lesson, beginning this morning and then tonight, when we study more of it, we're going to see that certainly that kingdom was established during the days of those kings, of those Roman kings. So Daniel 2:44, when Daniel interpreted this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, specified the time of the setting up of the kingdom, which is what? Which is going to be unlike any of the earthly kings before it, because it's going to be a kingdom that will never end. All those other kingdoms, the Babylonian, the Grecian, the Roman, all those are going to end in time because they're made up of man. They are men that are heads of those kingdoms. They are made up of men, of men's armies and men's rules. But they will dissolve, they will decay, they will vanish away. But the kingdom of God, the church that will be established in the latter days, will never pass away. So the time, the end of the establishment of the kingdom or the church, is in the days of those kings. And when we look in the New Testament, this points to the days of who? The Roman kings, the Roman Empire. And so we go to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 this morning, and we see that certainly that Jesus was born in those days, in the days of those kings. Mary was with child, and she gave birth to Jesus, went in the days of Herod, in the days of the Roman rule. Jesus was not only born in those days, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, but John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, which began to preach just shortly before Jesus began his ministry. John came preaching in the wilderness, talking about the one that would come after him, which would be Jesus, who would set up his kingdom. John is preaching for this, and John the Baptist then began his work, his ministry in those days also. In what days? In the days of those kings. In the days of the Roman Empire. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And so, Jesus was born in those days. John began his public ministry in those days of those kings. And Jesus then began his public ministry in the days of those kings. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, which we read last Sunday morning. We're not going to go back and read those verses again, but we had to rush so much to get through those few points to get us from Daniel and Micah and Joel's prophecies to the days of Jesus and John. We didn't have time to really zero in on those points and let them soak in last Sunday morning. So that's why we're going back and reviewing the Old Testament prophecies that are pointing to the establishment of the kingdom of the church. Well, Daniel 2:44, going again to Daniel's interpretation of the king Nebuchadnezzar, specifies the time of the setting up of the kingdom, which will be unlike any other earthly kingdoms, because it will be blood-bought. It will have a king that's going to be sitting on the right hand of God in heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who will have power and dominion over all things to the church, who's head of the church, and the church then will be made up of those who are blood-bought Christians, saints in the church. Daniel, we pointed out last week, is the only Old Testament prophet to specify the exact period of the setting up of the kingdom. And we can point that then and show that it ended up right in the days of those Roman kings when that church was established. Daniel said, in the days of those kings. So when Jesus began his work in the days of the Roman Empire, in the days of those kings, what did Jesus say? He said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the time is fulfilled. What time is fulfilled? The time is fulfilled for the coming of the kingdom, for the setting up of the church. The time has been fulfilled now. And what? And the kingdom of God is at hand. So the Old Testament prophets then from 720 all the way down to AD 33 points to the establishment of the church. And Jesus is saying this kingdom that's been prophesied, this church that has been talked about, it is at hand. And then this would agree with the prophecy then that we read in Daniel 2 verse 44. Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. It's nearby. It's close. It's almost here. So the prophecies of the Old Testament point to the establishment of the church in the New Testament. And so Joel chapter 2 verses 28 through 32 was one of the last points we made last Sunday morning in our lesson, that it also, along with Micah, along with Daniel, and along with Joel then, all tie together to point hundreds of years later when the church would be established in the days of those kings in the city of Jerusalem, and the word of God would go forth from Zion, from Jerusalem, and all nations would be gathered into it, and through it all nations would be blessed. Understanding that in the Old Testament, the Jews, the Israelites, they were the people of God. They were identified by circumcision of the flesh. They had a law to keep. They were different from the nations around them. But now in this kingdom, in this church that's going to be established, all nations can flow into it. All nations will be blessed when this kingdom is established, when this goes into effect. So the Old Testament prophecies that point to the establishment of the church in the New Testament are going to be fulfilled, have already been fulfilled over 2,000 years ago, and we're going to see this morning the fulfillment of some of these prophecies in the next 15 or 20 minutes that points to when the church or this kingdom was established based upon the prophecies that were made from the Old Testament pointing to the New Testament. So the church, as we mentioned in Ephesians 3 verses 10 and 11, it is the eternal purpose of God. It was the eternal purpose of God, and it is the eternal purpose of God in that in it the saved are added to it, And anything we want to know about the church as far as when it was established, when it came to existence, when it was prophesied, who prophesied about it, and how long the church will last is found in the Bible. So if we'll be good students of the Bible, we can look at all the things that are said concerning the church and the kingdom and realize who we are as Christians in the kingdom of God today, serving God as brothers and sisters in Christ in the family of God. So we get to February 20th, 2020, as I marked on the slides, to show that certainly we're going to begin this morning with some points in this second phase of our study. The New Testament then, the Old Testament pointed to those times, and the New Testament also points to this same kingdom, this same church, points to it. When you get in the New Testament, beginning of the Gospels, it continues to point to the establishment of this kingdom, the church. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 and read a few verses there. Certainly, when you look at everything that was said in the Old Testament, it ties in perfectly with the New Testament. We see what the Old Testament prophets said, and then we see what the New Testament writers had to record that Jesus said and John said. Then we know that this kingdom is at hand. It's just about to be established. So, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, at about A.D. 26, thereabout, we see that certainly John the Baptist preached a message. And the message he had was that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember, I mentioned earlier that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John is preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same kingdom that Daniel and Joel and Micah talked about in the Old Testament, John is now saying it is at hand. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" And so we see then that certainly John himself was saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so these tie in with the other passages that we just looked at this morning. John then was saying the kingdom of his heaven is at hand. But John then, who said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was later imprisoned. Not only was he imprisoned by Herod, but he was also beheaded. So the kingdom that John said is at hand did not come to fruition. It was not put into place, it was not established during the lifetime of John the Baptist. So that throws out many religious scholars and many religious people's belief that John the Baptist is the one who set up the church or set up the prophecies and fulfilled those prophecies in himself. He did not. He was saying that the kingdom is yet at hand. It's in the future. And he died before the kingdom was set up. Look to Matthew chapter 14, and let's notice that certainly there in verses 1 through 12, and I want to take time to read some of these verses and in their fullness, because there's so much that's said in the religious world about the church, and saying that the church can be any name, any group, started at any time by any people, and it can be that. It can be that church or that kingdom that's talked about in the Bible. Well, what does the Bible say about it? John said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was later imprisoned and beheaded, so the kingdom was not set up during his ministry. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 12. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." So Herod had already put John to death. When he heard about Jesus, he said, "This is John the Baptist." For Herod, verse 3 of Matthew 14, for Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it into her mother. And so we see then that John the Baptist, who said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand in Matthew 3, was put to death by Herod, so the kingdom, the church, was not established during the days of John. But we go back to Mark, or over to Mark chapter 1, and look at verses 14 and 15, and we see that Jesus then, when he came on the scene in his ministry, what Jesus said was that the kingdom of God is at hand. So the Old Testament prophets, Daniel, Joel, and Micah, all pointed to a kingdom, the church, that will be established in the latter days, in the days of those kings. John said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and Jesus is now saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came in Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. So let's pause a minute. The time that Daniel talked about, O King Nebuchadnezzar, God of heaven is going to do this, and there's going to be these four kingdoms. But there's going to be another kingdom, and there's going to be a kingdom that's going to be set up that's going to be unlike them, that'll never be established. And so Micah prophesied and Joel prophesied, and now Jesus is saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So, the Old Testament prophesied of it. John prophesied of it. Jesus says, it's at hand. John said, it's at hand. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. Turn over there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. He taught his disciples to do what? Pray for the kingdom to come. So this kingdom that was prophesied hundreds of years before is just about here, but it's not here yet while Jesus is living. He said, pray for the kingdom to come. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read these verses 9 and 10. In this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. John said, the kingdom is at hand. Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. And Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come. He sent his apostles out to preach. Jesus told them to go preach. And if you flip over a few pages in your Bible to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, we see that when he sent these apostles out to preach while Jesus was still living, he said, the kingdom of heaven is what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10 and verse 7. And as you go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, well, this thing is closing in. The Old Testament prophets pointing to, and John saying it's almost here, but it didn't come in John's lifetime. He died. Jesus is saying this kingdom, the time is fulfilled. It is at hand. And then, Luke chapter 10, turn over to Luke chapter 10, and we see that certainly there, Jesus, whenever he sent out the 70 disciples to preach, here in Luke chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, he said that the kingdom of God has what? Has come near. Verses 10 and 11, he said, but whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this. Verse 11 of Luke 10. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. So, why is there so much confusion in the world today? Why has there been so much confusion and so much varying of teaching concerning the church over the last 2,000 years, especially the last 400 years? When people say, well, the church that I go to was established in 1750 or 1780 or 1860. Or 1640. All we got to do is go to the Bible. and see the prophecy concerning the church, the kingdom, and see it pointing to the New Testament. And in the beginning of the New Testament, seeing John say the kingdom is at hand, Jesus saying the kingdom is at hand, and Jesus, on these three different times, prayed the kingdom to come, he preached the kingdom was at hand, and the third time he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, go preach and teach the people this. And then when he sent out the 70, he said that the kingdom of heaven has come near. So, the New Testament points to the establishment of the church. The Old Testament pointed to the establishment of the church. They coincide. They agree with one another. There's nothing that descends from the other. There's no dissension in the teaching. Matthew chapter 16, turn over there. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. We want to at least get these points in the lesson this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Let's read these verses. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So we see that certainly Jesus spoke to his apostles. He spoke to them there going through verse 20. Let's look at verse 19. Important verse. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So in verses 13 through 20, we see that in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus then, concerning the promise, he said, I promise to build the church. I will build my church. Now the promise, upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, is based on not the rock, was not Peter, not on the fact that Peter was going to preach the first sermon. It wasn't based on that. The rock was not Peter, but the confessed truth that Jesus is the Son of God was that which the church was going to be built on. That Christ, the Son of the living God, is what the church is going to be built on. He's going to purchase it with His blood when He dies on the cross. And so when Peter confessed this, he made the confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the church was built upon Jesus, the Son of God, who purchased it with His own blood. So the church is the kingdom. Because we notice in this same passage we're looking at in Matthew chapter 16, the church and the kingdom. Now there are a lot of people who will tell you that there's a kingdom coming later, that the church was set up because Christ didn't make it. They killed Him and took His life. So they set up the church in place of the kingdom, and the kingdom's coming later. And it's going to come when Christ comes a second time. He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth and rule out of Jerusalem. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. But all that is shot down when you see what Jesus simply said to Peter in speaking of the kingdom, the church, which is what? Which is at hand. Which is shortly to come to pass. Go preach and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. So the church and the kingdom are two words used interchangeably, meaning the very same thing. It's the same institution. The church and the kingdom are the same. So the church is the kingdom. Jesus said, I will build my church, Matthew 16 and 18. And in the same setting, in the same conversation with Peter, said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 16 and verse 19. So when we study Daniel and Micah and Joel and look at the prophecies pointing to, and we pick up in the New Testament and we see John the Baptist come preaching in the wilderness, preaching that repent, the kingdom of heaven, which was talked about by these Old Testament prophets, is at hand, it's near. John died not seeing the kingdom established. He died while the law of Moses was still in effect. Jesus told His apostles, He told the 70, He told His followers to pray for the kingdom to come, that the kingdom is at hand. And when He told Peter, and Peter made the good confession, He said, He clarified it. He said, I will build My church, Matthew 16 and 18. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The church and the kingdom are the same. So, Old Testament prophesies, the New Testament prophesied of the establishment of the church. So, the kingdom, the church, was to come in the lifetime of some of the disciples that Jesus was talking to. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man, what? Coming in His kingdom. That's the kingdom that Jesus said, I will build My church, Peter, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Mark 9 and verse 1. Turn over there and let's read that verse this morning. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. And He said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here. This is at Jesus' transfiguration. There are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. So, we're going to draw to a conclusion our lesson this morning based on Daniel, Joel, and Micah saying that there's going to be a kingdom set up in the days of those kings, and it will be set up in the city of Zion. The word of the Lord will go forth from the mount, from Jerusalem, and all nations will be blessed in it. And we get in the New Testament, John the Baptist saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but he died before the kingdom came. Jesus said, the church and the kingdom are the same. I'll build My church, and I give unto you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom. And then Jesus said, there are some standing here today that will see the kingdom come with power. And we're going to see that happen. As we study, we're going to see all this come to pass just shortly after Jesus said this. Because Jesus is going to die, and the kingdom is not going to be established. The church is not going to be established while Jesus is living. But He's got to die on the cross and shed His blood, because remember Acts 20 verse 28, He purchased the church with His blood. And after He purchased it with Him, when He purchased it with His blood, Peter could preach, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And the Lord added those people to the church, which we'll look at in later lessons. So, I know we went through some of those earlier points on those first few slides very quickly this morning. But I felt like last Sunday morning we didn't give it justice because we didn't have a lot of time. We were rushed and we hit those first few points quickly trying to just show the Old Testament prophecies. Now we've tied those with the New Testament prophets and we're just about to see it be established. Thank you for your attention. This morning, if you're here and you're not a child of God and you'd like to be baptized into Christ, you can become a part of the church, the kingdom that we're talking about today. If you'll repent of your sins and confess Christ and be baptized, the Lord Himself will add you to the church. If that be your need this morning or your desire, or if you're here and you're a Christian and there's something you've done in your life you need to correct in a public way, if we can help you with prayer, please come while Jay leads us in the invitation song.